I want to kind of get you engaged in this message a little bit, be thinking about it. Now, men, I know we got some really, really big-time hunters in the church. Now, I know some of you aren't. That's perfectly fine. Some of you are. That's perfectly fine as long as everything is in balance. But I want you just to picture this a little bit, okay? First day of hunting season. You know, I'm amazed at how many of the bucks on Monday or Tuesday are killed. I mean, it's like 80, 90% of the bucks that are killed in gun season are killed the first 2 days. But say, first thing Monday morning, you're out there. You're either standing next to a tree or up in your tree stand, and you've paid attention, and you know what's going on, and you know what deer are in your area. But something really, really surprises you. It's a bigger buck than you could ever imagine. It's a 16-point buck. And it is healthy. It is huge. It looks more like a moose than it does a deer. And you are so excited, and you try to calm yourself down a little bit to get a shot. And by golly, you shoot and you hit that deer exactly where you're supposed to hit that deer. But that's a monster buck, you know. And that monster buck takes off running. Now, you definitely see which way it goes. And you definitely see a little bit of blood along the way. Let me ask you, men, what would you do to try to find that monster buck? Let me tell you, I imagine you'd do about anything you could do to find that monster buck. Because you can just see that thing mounted and stuck in your family room at the house. I mean, everybody that comes by your house will say, "Wow! Did you get that deer?" Absolutely. And then you can, for the rest of your, so you're going to seek after that deer. Don't you figure? Your heart's going to be about 100 miles an hour because you're serious about this. You're going to find that deer. You're going to seek after that deer. If you haven't found it by a little bit of time, you might say, "You know what? I'm going to get other people help me find that buck because that's a monster buck. I'm going to seek after it with all my resources, all my heart, with everything that I have. I am going to find that buck." How many of you men just give me a little nod and think that would probably be the case? Okay. All right, ladies. What about, you have a family heirloom. It's a beautiful diamond necklace with a gold chain. It has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. And it is your prized possession in this world. Because it's got family ties. And typically, it's so precious, you don't even wear it. But there was some special event that you thought, "I want to look really nice. I am going to wear that necklace." And you put on that necklace, and you are styling and profiling. You are looking nice. And you go to the event, and you come home, and guess what? You look in the mirror, and that necklace is gone. I imagine, ladies, that you would do all that you could do to seek after that gold diamond necklace. Wouldn't you? Hello out there. Anybody out there? You'd probably get on the phone, right? And you'd be calling wherever you went for that event. Maybe a restaurant and get together with some friends. You'd be calling, say, "Hey, did anybody turn in?" And you'd probably be going to your car real quick and looking all over the ground. And probably you might call in reinforcements even. Every resource that you have would be put forth seeking after that lost gold diamond necklace, wouldn't it? Ladies, if you agree with that, just give me a little nod. Today, we're going to be talking about seeking after God. Do you realize that if we really sought after the Lord and the things of the Lord as much as we would that monster buck, or as much as we would that heirloom of a necklace that we lost, if we would seek after the Lord that much, boy, what an impact that would have on us. What an impact that would have upon our families. What an impact that would have upon our church. What an impact that would have upon the world. Would you agree with that? We've been talking about a biblical perspective on money and giving. A biblical perspective on money and giving. Today, in particular, seek after God. Now, we've been in this series two other times. We've already had two parts of the message. I'm going to take just a moment and review. These have all been out of Luke chapter 12. And really, one of my preferences in preaching is to find a chapter or a passage and just go straight down that passage and say, this is what it says and this is how we can apply it. And that's what we've been doing. Biblical perspective on money and giving. Part 1 in verses 13 to 21 of Luke chapter 12. Life is not about stuff. It's about a relationship and service to God. The whole overall thrust of the message was life is not about stuff. It's about a relationship and service to God. If you agree with that, say amen. Man, you're a quiet bunch. I'm going to have to jump over the altar rail or something. Get everybody woke up out there. We talked about this addresses the wealthy or those who seek to be wealthy. And the whole idea behind that, if you want to condense it into a really short sentence, the point of the message from God's Word, and I think God's Word is very clear in this chapter. It's not like, oh, I wonder what that means. I mean, it's clear. The point, do not focus on money. Do not focus your life on money. Part number two of this sermon series, worry and fear about money and stuff is sin. Worry and fear about money and stuff is sin. Luke 12 verses 22 to 28 was the passage that we looked at. Now again, this isn't like, wow, that's a very difficult passage to understand. Like, wow, I mean, really, if you just read it with any degree of understanding and discernment, you can come out of that with a conclusion that, you know what, whenever we worry and fear about money, it simply is sin. The message in particular, part two, addressed our attitude or even our attitude toward the necessities of life. You know, the first part of the passage in Luke 12, verses 13 to 21, kind of seemed to address those that are wealthy or those that are seeking after wealth. The second part here, basically, it could be those that are barely scraping by. Because it says we don't need to worry and fear about money and stuff. We don't have to worry even about the very necessities of life. So the overall thrust, do not worry about money. Part one, do not focus on money. Part number two, do not worry about money. The third part, seek after God. Seek after God. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 29 to 34. 29 to 34. Only six verses. Can you say amen? Amen? Only six verses we're going to look at today. Under a biblical perspective on money and giving, seek after God. Notice verse 29. It says, and seek not. Now this is Jesus teaching in particular. It seems like he was teaching a big crowd. And then it kind of condenses a little bit more and he starts to teach his disciples. But he says, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, did you catch that? But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Man, that passage, I mean, that just kind of winds my clock a little bit. It's like, wow, how powerful that passage is. Do you realize that there's an awful lot of people that have their perspective way off base when it comes to money and material things in this world? Now, we would agree and look outside the walls of the church and say, yeah, it seems like the world's really got some problems with that, don't they? But let me tell you, if we're not careful, you can have a problem about money too. And worry and focus and seeking after things like money and material things instead of what God wants you to seek after. So I don't want you to say, okay, well, yeah, he's talking about seek after. I've heard the passage on that before. Yeah, I really don't need to apply it. I really think in the world in which we live, we really, every one of us, ought to be alive, awake, alert, and enthusiastic. Because we live in a world that bombards us with the idea, bigger is better. You got to get this latest toy. You got to make sure that you keep up with the Joneses, because you know that when you get this toy, it'll show everybody that you've arrived. And we get bombarded with that message day after day after day after day. So I figure that's why God says, you know what? Every once in a while, we need a good dose of what the Bible says about money, what the Bible says about giving. And today we're going to look in particular, and we're just going to go verse by verse and look at this. Again, this is not rocket science. It's not like, whoa, where'd the preacher get that from? It's right here. Seek after God. Notice what it says. Point number one today, if you're taking notes, point number one, we are not to even seek after the necessities of life. You say, what? Huh, preacher? I think you finally lost it. Look at verse 29. The point is, we are not to even seek after the necessities of life. Huh, really? Look at that verse. Isn't that exactly what it says? It says, and this is Jesus. Now, I know all of it's God's word. But these are the very words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. And you know what? Since Jesus does not change, y'all agree with that? Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever, right? So he does not change. So if he'd sit down there right now and look you straight in the eye, guess what? He'd be saying the exact same thing. He says right there, and seek not what ye shall eat. Now, I know sometimes we maybe eat to excess and eat beyond what is needed, but the last time I checked, we all have to eat or we're going to die. Eventually, right? I mean, just look at my poor, pitiful, frail body. If I don't have a good lunch, I'll probably... No. But the point is, it's a necessity of life, right? Food, right? Y'all agree with that? And it says, or what ye shall drink. Wow. You can go longer without food than you can without water. So would you call drink in this passage a necessity of life? Well, it says, seek not what ye shall eat. That would be food, necessity. Or what ye shall drink, that's kind of like a necessity. Neither be ye of doubtful mind. He's talking to his disciples. Okay, you got that? Are there any disciples of Jesus out there? Now, we're not the original 11, 12 disciples, but we are disciples. We are followers of Jesus, right? And he tells us right here clearly, we're not even supposed to seek after the necessities of life. Now, I am not saying, I'm not recommending, neither does the Bible recommend, okay, let's just all quit our job then and God will provide. That's not the point. The point is the idea of focus. The idea is of priority. The idea is being preoccupied, seeking after. You know, some people are just so worried. You know, grocery prices are crazy high. Y'all figured that out? You see, we're doing this little diet thing, and eggs are free. Free on our diet, Larry, not free to buy. I wish they were free. but they're not free to buy, but they're free on the points. You know, the point thing is that great. So we've eaten a lot of eggs. Unfortunately, I like eggs. I like them at least two ways, scrambled or over easy is the way I like them in particular. And so we've discovered that eggs are a lot like a roller coaster in price. And now they're extremely high. Crazy high. Crazy, crazy high. You've noticed that about groceries if you do any shopping, right? And some people are just so worried. I just don't know how we're going to make it. And I'm not saying, I know we have some probably here that have more than others and some that are probably don't have a whole lot of life's material things. But we can sit back and say, I just don't know. And we can worry about it and we can think about it. And we can fret about it, and we can get ulcers over it. But guess what? The Bible says, if the Lord is your Savior, he's talking to his disciple, you're not even supposed to seek after these things, such as food or drink. Why would that be? Because God has it under control. You work. You do your part. Don't be lazy. You provide for your family. Absolutely, but don't be preoccupied and seeking and worrying and focusing on your even necessities. Everybody with me on that? Some of you look like I've done made you mad over something. I don't know what I made you mad over, but we are not even, if you want to worry about it, you're welcome to, but I'm telling you, you don't have to. We are not to even seek after the necessities of life. It says, neither be ye of doubtful mind. I mean, what are we, doubtful mind? Are we going to scratch our head and think about it? I said, I wonder if God's going to give me any food today. I wonder if God's going to give me anything to drink today. Again, don't leave here and say, the preacher said I can quit my job, and everybody quits their job. It's like, well, the preacher said so. I'm not saying that. God gives us opportunities to work. And the Bible is very clear about being good workers. Christians ought to be the best workers around. But for folks that worry even about the necessities of life, God says we're not to even worry or seek after the necessities of life. You know what? Whenever we start wondering whether God will provide, you know, it tells God that we really don't trust him. We really don't trust him to meet our needs. So point number one, we're not to even seek after the necessities of life. But we're going to talk about in a moment what we are supposed to seek after, preoccupy our time with. Number two, when we are preoccupied with stuff, we are acting just like the world. Verse 30. When we are preoccupied with stuff, we are acting just like the world. In the very words of Jesus, it says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Did you catch that? Nations of the world seek after? And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. You see, when we're preoccupied with stuff, we're acting just like the world. You know, that's part of the problem we have with Christianity today is we're not different than the world. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear what I said? Part of the reason people don't want what we have is because we're not different. Because we worry and fret about money. We worry and fret about God providing this or that. We don't have to. We need to be different than the world. Amen. So when we worry and when we fret And when we're a basket case, you know, over whatever area it is, this is a general principle. Specifically, it's talking about money, stuff, necessities, and things like that. But it's a general principle. When we don't have a calmness in our soul that God's going to meet that need, but we fret and we worry and money's it, and we're acting just like the world. Jesus says that's what the nations of the world seek after. And then he goes on. This is really cool to me. You say, well, and your Father knoweth that ye have what? Need of these things. Aren't you glad that we have a God that knows what our needs are? Aren't you thankful that you have a God that can meet your needs because he knows you? God knows all about it. He knows that you need food. He knows that you need clothing. He knows that you have certain necessities in life, right? In fact, I'm glad that God knows everything. You see, he knows how to run the universe. That's encouraging. But he also knows what you and I need. Biblical perspective on money and giving. Seek after God. Number one, we're not supposed to even seek after the necessities of life. Number two, when we are preoccupied with stuff, we are acting just like the world. Number three, our priority must be the kingdom of God. Our priority must be the kingdom of God. Once he lays the groundwork there, he says in verse 31, but rather, what? Rather than worry and fret about things and stuff and money and even necessities of life, seek ye the kingdom of God. Now let me tell you, let's get real, real practical here. You can't tell me that the people who don't go to church and say, I'm a Christian, and all they're doing is work, 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 pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. You can't tell me that they're seeking God first. You can't tell me that they put God and his kingdom as a priority. Y'all with me? But you know what? We can fit into that same category. We really can. It says, but rather than worrying even about the necessities of life, we're supposed to seek after the kingdom of God. That means everything about God and his kingdom. That is salvation through Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we're a little bit more familiar with Matthew's account of this. He says, but seek ye what? He adds the word first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. If that kingdom of God bothers you, you say, I don't quite get that. How about this? But seek ye first the things of God. Does that help? Everything about God, everything about his kingdom, everything about his local church, everything about the gospel, that's what we're supposed to seek after first. But you know the blessing of doing that? You know, you say, you know what? You know what? I'm not going to seek after stuff. I'm not going to seek out even after the necessities of life. I'm going to leave that to God. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to work hard. I'm not going to be frivolous with my resources. But you know what? I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm not going to seek after that. Instead, I'm going to seek after you know, I'm really concerned about the condition of the American church. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Because you know what? I look at people, like I said, I've been doing this a while, and I look at people in the pews, and I look at lives, and I'm not going to pick on anybody, and I'm not going to say you. I'm not saying that. If the shoe fits, put it on, okay, and wear it. But I'm really concerned. We have almost zero hunger for the Word of God. And the Word of God is part of the kingdom of God, right? When it says, but seek ye first. We can't live our life for God without the Word of God. And yet, I mean, really, I just don't see a hunger in a lot of people's lives. You know, I see a desire for other things that are going to burn. I see a desire for a lot of things in life and a lot of activities and a lot of pleasure and a lot of things like that. But I do not see a hunger for the Word of God. It almost seems, as I observe, I'm a fairly observant person when it comes to people. Now, I can go to, you know, somebody's house and for 20 years and not notice that they got a clock on the wall that, you know, I'm not observant like that. When it comes to people, I'm fairly observant. And it just seems like people could almost, and they say, I'm a Christian, but they could almost completely do away with the Word of God and it wouldn't bother them at all. Because they're not spending time reading the Word of God, probably. And when we put forth a big emphasis in this church on preaching and teaching the Bible. We have various opportunities to learn from the Word. And God has given us good teachers in our church. He's given you a preacher, but when we get together, you know, we try to preach and teach the Word of God. And it seems like some people just don't care a whole lot. Just fit it in there a little bit. But these verses are very clear to me. But seek ye first, it says in Matthew. It says in the gospel we look at Luke, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. I don't see a whole lot of God seekers. I don't see a whole lot of the things of God seekers. I see a whole lot of seeking after the things of the world. Now, like I said, I'm not, you know, I mean, that's not my responsibility. I can be a fruit inspector, absolutely. But if you call yourself a child of God and there's not a hunger for the Word of God, and there's not any seeking after God, you need to examine your heart and life and make sure, number one, that you're saved, truly born again. Your sins have been washed away because you put your faith and trust in Jesus at some point in time. And secondly, if you've done that, you come to the conclusion, yes, I've done that, you need to ask yourself, am I really seeking after God the way I should? I'm telling you, we can seek after a lot of things in life that will not satisfy. We can seek after a lot of things in life, and when we breathe our last, they're gone. Or we can seek after God, the kingdom of God, the things of God, the way that we should. The Bible. A biblical perspective on money. Biblical perspective on giving today. Seek after God. Our priority must be the kingdom of God. And notice the blessing. It says, if you seek after God and the kingdom of God, the last part of verse 31 says, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, the things that we worry about, we can worry about and not get them. But if we don't worry about them and we say, you know what, instead I'm going to seek God. He says, voila, there it is, I'm going to meet your need. Isn't that a blessing? A benefit of seeking God first? A biblical perspective on money and giving. Number one, we're not supposed to even seek after the necessities of life. God will meet our needs. Number two, when we are preoccupied with stuff, we're acting just like the world. Number three, our priority must be the kingdom of God. Number four, no need to fear. God wants to give us good stuff. You ready for this? Should we dismiss in prayer? Y'all ready for this? No need to fear. God wants to give us good stuff. Look at verse 32. Fear not, little flock. Fear not. You know, we need to hear that, don't we? Fear not, little flock. Man, we're definitely a little flock. But you know what? I really think when he's saying, you know what? We're the minority in this world, and we're still the minority in this world. We're becoming more and more of a small minority for sure as Christians. But it says, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do you know God wants to give us good stuff? We're going to inherit all the glories of heaven. He says he wants to give us the kingdom. Don't you think that if God is that good, and he says, I want to give you the kingdom of God, and I think here is kind of a reference to heaven, because we're going to inherit the streets of gold, right? And our mansion, and all the glories that are there, and all the wonders of heaven, and of the new earth. And God says, that's what I have for you. So why are you worried about the little piddly things of this life? Why are you worried about the stuff of this life? You've got heaven to look forward to. God says, I want to give that to you. It's not like I'm going to grudgingly. You ever had kids and you told them to share and they very grudgingly like, okay, if I have to. It's not like God says, well, since I have to, I'll give you the glories of heaven. I'll give you all this good stuff. And he'll bless us in this life too if we'll only put him first. But he's going to give us heaven someday. Do you know what we're called? Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So if you know Jesus, you ought to know that you're saved, right? Say, I'm a child of God. And if children, notice this, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that you suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You know, as a child of God, you're a joint heir with Christ. And it says an heir with God. All of heaven. We're going to inherit all of heaven. So why are we preoccupied with so many piddly, ridiculously insignificant things in this world when God says, hey, it's not about this world. It's about the next world. A biblical perspective on money and giving. Seek after God. Number one, we are not supposed to even seek after the necessities of life. Number two, when we are preoccupied with stuff, we are acting like the world. Number three, our priority must be the kingdom of God. Number four, no need to fear. God wants to give us good stuff. Number five, seeking treasure here, that stuff, only leads to disappointment. Only leads to disappointment. Look at verse 33. Now, I believe here he's talking specifically to his disciples, okay? I don't specifically believe that we are commanded to go out there and sell everything you got. But I think what he said, specifically disciples, and if he does tell you to do it, you ought to do it, absolutely. But he's saying, let me tell you how important wealth is. And let me tell you how important money really is. He tells his disciples, just go sell it all. I'm going to take care of it. Sell it. If you don't, look what's going to happen. Give alms. Give to the Lord. It says, provide yourself bags which wax not old. You know what happens when we try to hold on to money? It leaks out of the bag. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not, it says, where no thief approaches. You know what can happen when we seek after money? Somebody will steal it. And it says, neither moth corrupted. You know, if we try to hang on to money, you know what can happen? It can be eaten up. You see, seeking treasure here, stuff, only leads to disappointment. You know, if you spend your whole life trying to reach the $1 million mark, is that really going to make you happy? Is that really going to satisfy the inner longings of man. You know, the inner longing of man, if you will, that God puts in there is for a close relationship with God. It's not for money. But that old sin nature is also with us, right? And the old sin nature is more, more, more. How much money? Just a little more. Just a little more. Just a little more. Just a... And then thieves can steal it. Moths can eat it up. The bags can have holes in it. Your investment portfolio can go... Pfft. And then when you breathe your last, it's like... You know, one of the questions they ask you before you enter heaven, if they have to ask you a question, I know that's kind of a common little thought. You know, when they, at the streets of gold, what will they ask you? I don't think they'll really have to ask you anything, but I guarantee you they'll not ask you, how much money did you have on earth? I found this interesting. I'm almost finished. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. You know, the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom. Who wrote the book of Proverbs? Solomon. Was Solomon rich? Absolutely. He was rich, right? Had power, had authority, had all that he wanted. And notice what he says in Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5. Notice this. Labor not to be rich. Kind of sounds like don't seek after stuff, right? Cease from thine own wisdom. Now, in your wisdom, oh, I got to work, got to get more money, got to get a bigger bank account, got to, and we focus and we stress and we worry. Now, notice this, I like this really good. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? I'm going to focus on money, and poof, it's gone. For riches certainly make themselves what? Wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. You see, seeking treasure here or stuff only leads to disappointment. A biblical perspective on money and giving. Seek after God, number one. We're not supposed to even seek after the necessities of life. Number two, when we are preoccupied with stuff, we are acting like the world. Number three, our priority must be the kingdom of God. Number four, no need to fear. God wants to give us good stuff. Number five, seeking treasure here or stuff only leads to disappointment. Last point, your heart will be wherever your treasure is. Your heart will be wherever your treasure is. Look at verse 34. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do you know, a lot of people have a lot of money in this world, and we are. You say, well, I don't have much money, but even as Americans, we're richer than most of the world. So just so you know. But a lot of people, you know, the reason they're not focusing on God is because their heart is not in it, because they're focused on where their treasure is, and that's at the bank down the street. Treasure is one of two places. It's either in this world or on this earth, or it's in heaven, right? When it says your heart will be wherever your treasure is, the heart, your efforts, your thoughts, your priorities, your resources, it is what will be important to you. I thought about collisions. Yeah, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. You know, we've been in a series in Colossians chapter 3, and that's where Bubba comes in, remember? Bubba and all of his buddies there. But the first two verses of Colossians chapter 3 that we covered on a Wednesday night series. Notice what it says in Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. It's very relevant to this. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, saved, right? Seek, there's that word again, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Notice verse 2. Set your affection, what? On things above, not on things on the earth. Today we've talked about a biblical perspective on money and giving. The overall point, seek after God. I'll repeat the points one more time. Number one, we are not to even seek after the necessities of life. God says, you do your part, I'll provide the needs, the necessities. Number two, when we are preoccupied with stuff, we are acting just like the world. Number three, our priority must be the kingdom of God. In other words, our priority must be the things of God. Number four, no need to fear. God wants to give us good stuff. Number five, seeking treasure here or stuff only leads to disappointment. And lastly, number six, your heart will be wherever your treasure is. Your heart will be wherever your treasure is. So, could I have everybody's attention? Look right up here. I have a question for you. If you are a Christian, you say, you know what, I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. Are you seeking God more than anything else in this world? You know what? I cannot answer this for you. Your friends probably can't answer it for you. Probably your fellow church members cannot answer that for you. But guess what? If you're truly saved, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And I guarantee you right now, the Holy Spirit's giving you a good answer to that question. Are you seeking God more than anything else in life? Remember the analogy at the very beginning? You know, the 16-point monster buck. Do you realize, men, we ought to be seeking after God more than we would that 16-point buck that we shot and can't find? Ladies, more than going after and seeking after, trying to find that heirloom gold diamond necklace, you should seek after God even more than that. Are you seeking after God first? Again, if you know Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit is giving you an answer to that question.